Carolyn. It's easier.
You hungry for breakfast?
Probably the end of the month.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jim from Sedona. Happy, happy day.
Hello.
Good morning, Jim.
Hello.
Welcome.
Good Jim. Sexy voice.
Oh, dear.
Doesn't he have a great voice?
Are they having a call today? I didn't, I never get emails. But...
Yeah, we're having
yes, we're
today.
Having a call today. Was that you, Joel?
Yes, it is. Is that Marilyn?
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. And we have two meetings up there in Detroit for next week. I will not make them. I have two people going.
Ah, okay.
Two big companies. So I'm really happy.
Wow. Well, wow. Good luck.
Happy
good,
Easter.
Thank you.
Happy Easter to everyone.
Should go.
Well. Joyous spark, everyone.
Well, I appreciate that. Who is having the second conversation?
Joyous talk. Good morning.
That's just in your head.
Possibly somebody found out that Daphne was having a birthday yesterday.
Ah, okay.
That could be it. Yeah.
Okay.
I looked at who was Saint Catherine's birthday was on March 25th.
St. Catherine's birthday was March 25th.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Terry's birthday,
was
too.
Terry from Boulder City.
Whose birthday was on 26th as well?
Hi, Terry. Terry from Boulder City. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't miss Terry.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Okay. Who else had a birthday on the 25th?
Terry. Okay. Terry and the
Terry
saint.
Brown?
The saint which she was in another life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. Catherine.
And it's also Lady Day in the Episcopal Church, anyway.
Oh.
March 25th.
That's
7 and 4?
It's the day celebrating.
March 25th was my birthday as well. That's why I looked up. That's why I knew St. Catherine.
Oh, you must
was.
Be the one that's got Lady Day then.
be sure and not mention St. Catherine's birthday because Terry goes on a big ego trip.
Oh,
I do,
yeah,
I do not. I do not.
Terry has such a big ego. you could just hear it in her personality.
Now.
There's ego all over.
Don't worry, Terry. We love you, ego.
even with that big head. I don't think anyone has an ego on
that. You too.
Hi, everybody. Michael.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how's everything?
Well, we've been waiting on you.
Good.
I wish, Nana.
Hi. Tana from last night.
Hi, Linda.
Is Taryn there?
Hi,
Taryn. I don't know about Taryn.
All right.
Hi, this is Carolyn from Uganda.
Carolyn from Uganda. Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been waiting for your call.
No. Happy Easter from England.
Good morning,
Happy
Mel.
Oh, Mel. Good morning.
Mel. Hi. I hope everybody's marvelous.
We are marvelous, because you're here, Mel.
You know, I think one day we should have a vote and decide who has a sexier voice, Mel or Jim?
Jim's got the resonance, but Mel's got the accent.
That's right.
What time is it there, Mel? Isn't it 6 o'clock, Mel?
6 o'clock in the evening, yeah.
That's okay.
We have the clocks went forward last night here, so we're back on track with 8 hours time difference.
All right. Well, I think we can start. Hang on a second. Let me just see here.
Hey, Wynn. It's Ed Spina.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, Wynn, can I sneak in a little request?
Who's that?
For Cheryl to contact, so I really need to talk to Cheryl.
Carolyn, you mean?
Carolyn, sorry. Yes.
Carolyn in Uganda?
In Uganda.
I'll have what he's having.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never been a Cheryl.
Carolyn?
Carolyn in Uganda.
Carolyn in Uganda.
Yes.
Somebody
until the middle of May.
Somebody wants to talk to you.
Dwayne wants to talk to you,
okay.
Carolyn.
Well, give him my Wednesday. You can send him my email address. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Now, this is Dwayne who sent those beautiful pictures, right?
Well, I'll take the email. I talked to Zoe, and I think I have some light for her.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Now, let me just see if I can. Hang on. Let me find my... There we go. Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 31st, 2013, and this is Wynn in, where am I? I am in North Hollywood, Terry in Sedona, Carla in Anchorage, Ed Spina in Santa Monica, I think, and Marilyn Kowalski in, I forget, Michigan? No? Oh, well. And all of you everywhere. And this is, it's so phenomenal to come together every Sunday and have such a, how can I say it, high vibration, which we are all creating together. And what was I going to say? This is one of those days where I'm not hitting the ground running, but that's okay because it starts this way. You know, this is Easter Sunday, and it represents the day that Jesus was resurrected. And for the opening part of this session, we have a couple things directly related to Jesus. You know, when I was initially researching all of this material, and I was studying the David Wilcock channelings, the Carla Rucker channelings, the Edgar Cayce channelings, and the Bible, I had come to a conclusion that it seemed to me like there was a strong connection with Jesus and the sources that we are connected to. And I don't know if Carla ever addressed that directly. Carla, did you ever address that in your work?
Say that again.
Did you ever address that, the connection of Jesus? Well, Jesus, yes, definitely came up in the Ra material, right?
The connection of Jesus with?
With Ra.
With Ra. No, I never did. I never figured that they had any connection, except mm-hmm. that they were both focused on the same thing.
Yes.
Offering the same message, although Jesus offered it in an extraordinarily personal way, whereas the raw contact was a very impersonal contact.
Mm-hmm.
The message in a very impersonal way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in my in my studying all the materials at that time, I was coming to the conclusion, and you don't have to agree with this, you know, but just sharing the indications that Ra was actually very much involved in the bringing forth of Jesus into this realm. And I'll tell you some of the indications that I was getting in cross-referencing material. First of all, there was a connection with Akhenaten, because as I was reading stuff about Akhenaten, Akhenaten was seemingly, in a number of historical things and channeled things, responsible for the Essenes. And as I was intuiting it, the Essenes were a group of high spiritual beings that were around in the time of Jesus, and that Jesus hung out with them. And And it was necessary for Jesus, this is my take on this, it was necessary for Jesus, when he was growing up, to be around people who were channeling, who had high connections, in order for him to figure out his own mission. That's what I said. And it felt to me like the Essenes were part of the creation of that on a really long-term plan, when Akhenaten was sending enlightened beings out from his city into the caves. So that was one connection. And I kept contemplating it. And finally, I did a session with Daphne. And I believe we did this session when we were in 2003, perhaps when we were even in Kentucky. And I was going to read a little bit of that session. And then Carla was going to read a session that occurred, what was the date? Let's see. I sent it to Carla this morning. Well,
it occurred on April 16th, 95, which was Easter Sunday that year.
Okay, and it was relating to the resurrection, mm-hmm. and then I did ask some questions, you know, both to Daphne and Terry at different times over the past years about my premise that Jesus was connected with these groups, and there were really some interesting things that came up in those answers, and of course, like any channeled material, it's not to say this is true, but it's putting together little pieces of the puzzle to see how they fit and if they fit. So, for example, when I asked about the Holy Spirit in one session, it said the Holy Spirit was a construction of the Ra group energetically. And you've got to remember, through Carla's material, the Ra group had identified itself as a energetic complex that was able to move souls from one planet to another. And in fact, in particular, they were moving souls from Maldek and Mars to Earth, because both of those planets, Maldek blew itself up and Mars became uninhabitable. And the way that it was described in the Ra material is that the souls were in a tangled web, because when you go through a death experience, particularly in a nuclear situation, souls become tangled. They become glommed together, and they need to be untangled to continue their evolutionary path. And in the Ra material, Ra took the responsibility of helping these souls get untangled so they could continue their individual growth. And that apparently was a big job. It wasn't easy because the souls were brought to Earth and they inhabited the bodies of, was that Neanderthal man, Carla?
Well, in the Maldek experience, there was a knot of fear. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It was extreme enough that they couldn't immediately come into third density bodies. So if they had to hang out while their souls healed to the point where they realized they were people.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, then they could reincarnate into third density bodies. And they are all recovered at this point into third density bodies. But yeah, they came into great ape bodies. Of course, we have great ape bodies too, but we just don't have the hair.
Right. It took a long time for them to recover, yes?
It took a long time, hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
And with Mars, they lost their oxygen layer. Because I suppose of nuclear activity, a bunch of nuclear activity. But they didn't talk about the Mars people going into a knot of fear, and they simply said that not they, but another group, some of the guardians got this idea and ran it past the Council of Nine of improving the genetics. Diddling with the genetics and the DNA to make them smarter and stronger and so forth, so that they'd be more able to get hold of the loved one and to study it and to live it. And that turned out quite badly. And that was the reason for the quarantine getting started 75,000 years ago here, because it turned out so badly.
Well, when I was reading that in the Ra material originally, I said, Marilyn, are you a moderator?
Hello, Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And no, yes, I'm a moderator, but I don't have the control panel.
You don't need the control panel. I want to cut off the tones, and I can only do that from a phone, as far as I know. So, if you don't mind, press star 5 until it says entry and exit tones are off. Okay?
Okay.
You might have to press it a couple times. Sometimes it says entry tones are on, exit tones are off, et cetera, et cetera. So just keep doing it until we get them off. Thank
you. Okay. Yep.
Well, in any case, I said to myself, if this rock group was moving souls from one planet to another, that was not small potatoes. I mean, that was big. And I said, if a source was moving souls and taking that level of responsibility for the evolution of the beings, then how could they not be involved with Jesus? And then finally, I did this session with Daphne. It was quite extraordinary.
Excuse me, Wynn?
Yeah.
It's not star 5.
Why?
That's muting.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Star. How about star 8? Try star 8. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this was August 22nd, 2003. It was in Springhurst, Kentucky, and Daphne had been staying at her aunt's house, and I picked her up, and we were going to go back to California, which we did, and we were in a motel, and we had visited Carla at the time, and I was pursuing this question about the connection between Ra and the Christ. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of that session. And are we proceeding, this is Daphne talking, to the divine conscious access mechanism, the latent rarefied structures of DNA, molecular wiring of sublogi, sublogos slowed down beneath threshold of speed of light. This results in materialization of form. The trick, the challenge, to remain open to the highest frequencies of love while incarnate in a substellar, sublight speed vehicle of materialization. Proceed with questions, please. That's the way they opened the session. Whoa. Did you guys follow that? Again, I'm just going to read that again.
Did you follow that? That's a question.
I followed it. Did you follow it? Did you follow it, Carla?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I could ask another question, though.
to the divine conscious access mechanism. That's us. Okay? They're calling us the divine conscious access mechanism, or they're calling Daphne that. The latent rarefied structures of DNA molecular wiring of sublogi. So again, we're sublogi. In the Ra material, there was the Logos, which was, I believe, the Elohim, or the one infinite creator that all steps down. And then there's sublogi, sub-sublogi, and into our bodies. So we're sub-sub-sublogi.
Well, no, we're just sub-sub.
We're sub-sub, I get it.
Sublogoi are suns, and then we are sons of suns.
Okay. So they're talking about the solar logos, which would be the sun, slowed down beneath the threshold of the speed of light, i.e., there's a lot of stuff moving in the universe faster than the speed of light. And when things move faster than the speed of light, they're in other dimensions. Now, it's slowing down beneath the threshold of the speed of light, which results in the materialization of form. The trick, the challenge, to remain open to the highest frequencies of love while incarnate in a substellar, which I guess could also be sub-sub-logi, sublight speed vehicle of materialization. So we are the sub-light speed vehicle of materialization, and the challenge is to connect with the frequencies of love while in these bodies. When?
Quite a challenge,
right. Wynn, who is speaking to us right now? And Daphne. Remember, this is 2003, and this was kind of, these sessions were kind of blowing my mind. They were so articulate and so high vocabulary. Daphne, yes, we have regarded this contact closely. We identify ourselves. We are the ninth vibration of your solar council of the local Elohim under the direct tutelage of Ra and in association with the Council of An and the Council of Banath. Now, the Council of An and the Council of Banath were identified previously as sub-councils of the Elohim. The way that I was learning how this was working, that these group souls were, you know, organized. They had bureaucracy. I don't know, I don't think they'd call it bureaucracy, but they had structure. A structure, and the different parts of them did different things. And initially we were talking to the Council of An for quite some time, and still And when I asked what was the Council of On's role, they said the Council of On was the translator into the language of a local area from the language of the Elohim. That's what they said. Remember, I can't validate any of this, so this is just to consider not to be believed, but these are the way the answers came forth. And so then I said, thank you. Could you explain the interaction of Ra and the Elohim in relationship to the one known as Jesus and the relationship to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer. This is a complex interrelationship dynamic. As you have so asked, let us proceed as follows. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it is written, in your world religions, of this Trinitarian consciousness. It is a key, the triune, the destiny of the heart, to link with the psychos, the psyche, and the spirit, to form a vortex energy spiraling out of the propensity for heaviness and Saturn boxed in-ness of this local density. Let me just make sure you understand that. Basically, the Trinitarian consciousness is a bridge from this realm into higher realms. And the bridge is a vortex energy that we connect with, where we can feel the energy of the higher realms while we're in our substellar bodies. And I believe it's what happens on this call. When you're feeling that, we are, I don't know if we're using the Trinitarian consciousness. That was one way of going from here to the higher realms. But when we feel that energy coming in, that's what they're referring to. It is a key, the triune, the destiny of the heart, to link with the, I already said that. When the Father decided to manifest the Son, he gave a part of his life essence and essentially threw a spark into the denser realms, into the denser ethers, in order to, shall we say, ignite them in the passion of the higher densities of the love vibration. Do you understand this? When? I do. But I want to ask, I don't know if I was telling the truth when I said that, but I was trying. When? I want to ask a question. Was the Father the one infinite creator who created the solar logi, Ra and the Elohim? Who would have represented the Father in terms of the specific decision to put the Son into this density? As you would understand this question, the decision was made by the one known as Ra. Thank you. Did the Elohim co-create and participate in the event? The Elohim were of a supportive nature, similarly as a mother and father are supportive in their roles to bringing up a child. When? Was this Holy Spirit energy, which I define as the vibratory energetic space around me, becoming aware that it is uplifted by the energetic force, you speak in terms too intellectual. Move into the field of the heart. It is there you will find the key to the Holy Spirit. It is, shall we say, the gift, the parousia. Look up this word. It is the descent of the Pentecostal dove into the heart. When? Could you spell parousia? Daphne, parousia, from the Greek, P-A-R-A-O-U-S-I-A. Carla, are you familiar with the word parousia?
No.
No. Jeez, we got you, huh?
Yep.
All right. When? How did Jesus uncover his own mission? Well, he was in the physical. What were the events that allowed him to reveal to himself what he was supposed to do? He did not, as you would say, reveal to himself. He was in constant and direct communication with the Father and knew from a very early age, about what you would say 4 or 5 years old, that he was here for a very specific purpose, that he was here for a very specific position, mission, to enable humankind, civilization, to emerge to the next step. When? And so the father would have been Ra, and he was getting messages in his dream state and in his mind. This is affirmative, but not just in the dream state, also in the conscious waking state. He was incredibly intuitive. He saw God everywhere, in everything, and in everyone. He was able to read the higher frequency vibrations emanating from the auric fields, not only of the rocks and the trees and the people, but every single sentient thing and non-sentient thing on the planet. As it is written in your Bible, they say in the end times, when Christ is to come again and walk among you, it is actually an awakening in the cellular matrix of every human on the planet who is free-willingly open to the receiving of these higher vibrations, that every rock and stone shall start to speak. Know you the true meaning of this? The rocks and stones have always spoken, but your frequencies have not been open enough for you to understand that they themselves are a part of all that is, and therefore a part of you. And then I asked a question. I'll just throw in this question. And, you know, this was a new source that was speaking to me. If you recall at the beginning, they said they're the divine conscious access mechanism. Oh, who was speaking to us? We are the ninth vibration of your solar council of the local Elohim, and in association with the Council of An and the Council of Banath. And this was something new. Ninth vibration of your solar council of the local Elohim. Every time something new would come in, I would be a little nervous because I was already very well aware that a negative source could take over a channeling. And I have to go through, what is this? Can I trust this? Et cetera, et cetera. Although it sounded good, I asked the question, when we have someone new who speaks through Daphne, that over a period of time I test the source, I get comfortable with it, I start to recognize its positive matrix. And then they answered, prudence, yes, prudence and discernment. We caution you only not to delay too much. Be not an ostrich with your head in the sand. Feel the vibratory nature of what is coming to you. Internally, you know what is right. This is not to say you should not subject said transmissions such as these to your own personal litmus tests. However, do not get caught up in what we would term overly semantic and often unreliable empirical methods which have boxed you in your orthodox ways of trying to understand the universe. It is too cut off from the heart frequency to fully incorporate and understand that which emanates from the realm of the heart chakra and not the realm of logic.
I think that's why the challenging that I used, which was to ask them, can you say that Jesus is Lord? Because it was totally hooked in totally a part of my Christianity in my heart, that it works so well for me and always has worked well for me. And I expect it to continue working well for me because when I challenge them, I am standing on my Christianity and saying, this I believe, this I would die for, and this I'm living for. And my heart is totally involved. And I think that challenging is, and I got to challenge Ra. I challenged the heck out of Ra because I definitely did not want to talk to somebody named Ra.
Yeah, I don't.
That just fine. Ra was fine with that challenge. So I think it really it was a shortcut for me that I had that challenging. I didn't have to figure it out. It was either, yes, I can, yes, Jesus is Lord, or goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was instantaneous.
Right. Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just,
yes, you
it was,
did.
That was too good.
Okay. You know, one of the other indications I was getting was, as I was studying the Edgar Cayce sessions, I had come to the conclusion that it was Ra, or part of Ra, that was speaking through Edgar Cayce. And Cayce kept saying it was the Christ speaking through him. And I remember when I read Cayce years ago, I said, what is the Christ? How is the Christ speaking through him? And then when I put it, the idea that Cayce was connecting with the Ra group, and the Ra group was connected to Jesus, it made complete sense for Cayce to say it was the Christ. Cayce could not know it was the Ra group because he was a fundamentalist Christian, and he would have dumped all the whole thing, because the idea of a group soul was, you know, not his concept of God. So they couldn't say that. And I mean, my take is, when you started doing the rock group, it's probably, I mean, and you know, you don't have to even agree this is true, what I just read, but that your religious part of you might not have accepted the idea that Ra could have been the source that Jesus called Father. Would you say that's true?
I'm glad that I wasn't faced with having to.
It would have been too much, right?
Well, I don't know if it would have been too much or not, but it would have been the kind of stretch that would have gotten me stuck for a while I dealt with it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ra group didn't get me stuck anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's
spoke in very, very neutral terms. God was the creator and so forth.
And, you know, all this stuff I'm saying, I could be wrong. I'm not saying to everyone to believe that, but this is the way it came up. And in my own mind, it all fit together. Mm-hmm. And
it's fascinating listening to how you put it together.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's some people that are on for the first time today, and I had this wonderful meeting last night with these two young ladies who were so representative of Indigo Crystal Children Energy, and we were meeting at a restaurant, and there was Taryn and Tana. I know Tana's on the line. I don't know if Taryn's on the line. But Taryn, you know, I've learned to identify certain energies. And I was picking Taryn to be an Elohim soul. She was one of those beings that, as she was sitting in this chair, first of all, she was reading our Elohim book, and it was totally resonating. And she was sitting there, and her energy couldn't be contained in her body. It was like her smile was going from ear to ear, and it was, wow, I'm envious, not really envious, but the total joy she was feeling. And though she didn't know any of this material, and she was young, and her friend Sana was there, and we're going to do a session for a bunch of young people here in L.A. on Tuesday at Tana's house. I hope I'm getting Tana's name right. I think so. So I don't know why I'm bringing that up. But what I want to move to, I was thinking of new people, and I know Tana was on the line. So I wanted to just make sure I give a good introduction to Carla. And that Carla was channeling this Ra group from 1981 to 1984. And she's getting very negatively attacked. And at a certain point, her partner, who was helping to hold the energy, the frequency of this contact, died. And she did not go back to directly channeling Ra, but she brought through, it seemed to me, my take is, that on the other side, they put together an energetic construct so the Ra energy could go through two lower forms, because Ra in of itself was too up there.
It was too narrow band.
Too narrow
band.
Exactly
what they said, Wynn. They said that the Kuo group was made of the Ra group, which was sixth density narrow band. The La Tui group, which was fifth density, or the wisdom density, which was wider band, and I had been channeling the La Tui group, and it was my favorite group before Ra.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hatan group, which was the first group I ever channeled. And that's fourth density, the love vibration, and they were basically just channeling love.
Mm-hmm.
And, not it contributing to the intellectual part of it, but you could feel the love in between the words. And when I read those, you just see if you can feel it. And it was those three. They put them together because every time I tuned the same way. I would start out with my intention. And I would say, Lord, it's my intention to serve you today by channeling the highest and best contact I can carry in a conscious and stable manner of the vibration of Jesus the Christ, unconditional love. And so they got that together, the three of them, which was as close as they could come to fulfilling my request every time I set my intention to channel. And they were stepping it down, first into the fifth density, then into the fourth density, and then coming through so that I would translate down into the third density.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. So, now, I believe that prior to that formation of the Kyo, I'm still saying it wrong, right? Kyo?
Kuo.
No. Kuo. Kuo. Kuo and O. Okay. That Don Elkins was able to hold the frequency that Kuo held, you know, the Hatan and Lat Wei held after he passed.
Right.
But he could hold that frequency on the earth plane, and that's why the Ra contact could come through. Yes?
That's right.
And then when they put together this other structure, and if you read her stuff, you can definitely feel the difference in energy from these Ra channelings to the Kuo channelings. The Kuo channelings were much more loving, much more, how would you say it?
More inspirational, less dense.
Yeah, less dense. And you didn't experience, like, you know, those attacks when you were doing Kuo, did you?
No.
But Carla was having extreme attacks. You know, one of the things is, let's suppose this premise is right, and that Don was creating the stair-step bridge. If Don wasn't in your field, it would suddenly create a hole and create an open to attacks. But since Kuo was an internal bridge, maybe they could hold that bridge in place so the attacks didn't occur.
Yes, that's right.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just speculating here. So, Carla has hundreds, if not thousands, of Kuo sessions posted on her website, llresearch.org. llresearch.org, and there's a wealth of little detailed understandings about everything, and you can do searches about anything. Just put it in, and you'll get a bunch of sessions, because she was doing them live in her home every Sunday, was it?
Yes.
For quite a few years, and just open to anyone who showed up.
About 30.
30 people? 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It would still be going on, except in 2010, I I started to have back problems, and I had to have a series of, well, I'll have my third back surgery in about a week, and on the 9th of April. And while you're taking pain medication, I just think it lays you open to so many mistakes. You're just not yourself, you know. I mean, as far as being able to hold a zone, you can hold it for a short period of time, but for holding it when you're really deep and really focused, you just have a tendency either to go to sleep or lose the tuning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to wait until I got back off pain medication so that my channeling would be dependable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have that pride of wanting to do it well or not do it at all. So a lot of people disagree with that. They said, you'll be fine. You'll just be fine. And I'm going, I won't do it. So hopefully
mm-hmm.
I'll get back to that as soon as I recover completely. And I think I have the feeling I'll recover very quickly from this third operation. It's time for me to heal up.
We agree.
Yes, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel the energy of it. It feels so good.
So what I did was I went through Carlos Cuo sessions, and I found one on Easter, and I invited Carla to read it this morning. And are you prepared, Carla?
I am. Thank you for sending me the transcript. I'd have it right here.
All right. Okay. So with that introduction.
Entree.
Just start when you're ready.
All right. I'll read the question first, since they refer to the question during the answer. This was on April 16th, 1995. This is Easter Sunday. This is Jim talking. And it is also the time of spring when the new flowers and new grasses and plants start poking their heads out of the ground. We are all feeling rather inspired and inspirited. We would like to have some information upon this general concept of resurrection or rebirth, the coming into being of a new self, the inspiration bringing a new being, a risen being, more inspired and full of light. And we would like to have whatever information you could give us on how this process happens in our own lives, how it happens in the world around us, the interrelationship between the two, and anything that you could say on rebirth or resurrection. And here is where I start channeling. We are those of Kuo, and we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. It is both a privilege and a blessing for us to be sharing in your vibration. We would thank each which has come to this circle this day for the quality and depth of the preparation of desire, for considering new thoughts and looking for new truths. Air has been so purified that it becomes a fine instrument, and then it is that the call sent out becomes clearer and stronger. And this aids us, for as the preparation is, so the energy is. And as the energy of the circle is, so the communication is. Wynn, is this a good, clear signal?
It is. Thank you.
Okay, good. So those hours spent in thought, in prayer, in review, in contemplation, in meditation, and as this instrument would say, in the sacred practice of chilling out and taking it easy, each of you has done good work, and work that enables us to do our work better, and we thank you for this most profoundly. As we view the thrust of your opening question this day, we reflect upon how to lay the groundwork for that which we have to offer in the way of opinion. As always, we ask that each discriminate carefully and choose those things which we have to say that are useful, leaving the rest behind. Perhaps we shall begin in the dark, for the preparation for light is all important to the appreciation and resonance with that light that comes at the end of a period of watching and waiting. How necessary it is that the concepts of spirit first be nurtured and fed within the earth and ground of being. That spiritual self that within the mythological system we call Christianity has its beginnings at the birth of Christ. The small child is deep within that darkness of winter. the beginning of spiritual seeking, or perhaps we should say spiritual learning, is always in darkness. This is quite necessary, for much ground must be laid within that darkness. Much development of the spirit takes place only within the shadows of that inner darkness, which so fructifies and feeds the spirit that it gains the energy, which it then can use to seek the light. So, as always, the beginning of discussion of equality includes its dynamic opposite. Those opposites that seem so different one from the other, and yet are each other as two sides of a coin, in truth one object. All opposites may fruitfully be seen as unified. This practice is instructive. Now, when the light lengthens upon your planet, when the sun rises earlier and sets later, the effect upon your earth world is astounding. It is a food to green and growing things, that light, which seems tangible and yet is literally food and drink to your companions of second density that reach their leaves to the light of the sun as it rains down in a golden shower. And in that plane of the earth world, indeed, your entire planet is moving at this time within a new and previously unexperienced portion of space-time. As the inevitable cycles move, some cycles are very brief, others preponderously long. But at this particular time in your Earth history, this present moment is witness to unprecedented amounts of spiritual light. And this shall continue to expand as the cycles of time and space move relentlessly and benevolently to create ever new opportunities for seeking, for learning, for the giving and receiving of unity by unity, love by love, inequality whatsoever by its reflection in all that is seen and felt. In a universe in which the Creator moves with such order and precision, it is not surprising that the rhythms of human beings move in sympathy with the rhythms of the planet and its seasons. Many of your planet's people celebrate a resurrection of that which was dead and is now alive. This choice of that religion that you call Christian, of the spring as a time in which to celebrate death and resurrection of the Christ, is peculiarly apt and very accurately placed. Is that date that so coincides not with rhythms of created mankind, but with those fey and restless rhythms of moon and tide, of earth and the dark heart of the womb. Now is the time when that which has been in the womb, whether it be seed or embryo or spirit, has the opportunity to respond to the enlarging of the light. This is a precious time, a time to celebrate the self that is not yet unfurled, to celebrate that which is in bud, young, vulnerable, and infinitely tender. The exercise of celebration is deeply helpful to the spirit, as well as being most helpful to the body and to the life of that body. For it is possible to experience the catalyst of the increasing light in such a way that there is no heightened awareness which results within the being. The preparation in the darkness is the key to the use of light. Why is that? We feel that it has to do with the nature of evolution. In the seeking for truth, that which is new cannot come, cannot be realized, until that which is in its place has been released. Through the cycles that are within, each seeker has moved through periods deep in the mire of personal misery and pain. And whether this has been accounted as suffering or as nothing, yet still the work has been done. That which is dead has been released, making room for evolution. The pain of change feels like a death. The releasing of old opinion feels mortal, and the wound of leaving behind old ways of thought is fell and fatal. There is literal truth in death and resurrection in terms of spirit. There must be the willingness to die to the old in order for that which is written already upon your heart to become visible, to become illuminated, to be in the light. even when that which is old is a rending and separating truth, even when the new is gentler and sweeter, the death of the old is very hard to bear. And we do not wish to quibble with how hard it is to progress in relation to the letting go of that which is dead. It is into this atmosphere that the one known as Jesus the Christ deliberately sets out to move into utter darkness, as this entity willingly and knowingly walks to its Jerusalem, to its Golgotha, to its own resurrection, which comes only after a death, a crucifixion of the entire mortal man, a going down into the darkness of the grave then, which no darkness could be blacker than in human consciousness. This is the fear that is beyond all fears, human, that terror of the dark which does not end. It is into this infinite darkness that the one known as Jesus moves. And when this entity again rejoins the creation of light, this entity simply expresses the normalcy, the everyday quality of the conquering of death. It is not only that there is no longer within this mythological system any death to fear. Paradoxically, it is also that this entity moves completely into the human condition of mortality, so completely that it accepts and undergoes the death. Now, for all this entity could prove, for all that any entity can prove, this entity gave itself up to a death that had no end. Yet words of life were given by the one known as Jesus, and it is well to heed them. The key to moving from darkness to light was given by this entity when it said of those who crucified it, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The key to using the light is forgiveness, mercy, charity, love. One may walk into the light and yet not see light. If one has confusion and puzzlement upon the mind, one can move through an entire beautiful day and see no light. And just so within. One can walk into one's own season of blossom, and yet blossom not, nor see the sun, nor take food and drink from it. If one has closed one's heart, the light cannot survive, and will simply be reflected and used elsewhere. Think of the darkness of winter, and feel the contraction that occurs as the roots of being curl down into the earth, seeking water and nutriment. So are the roots of the self contracted and turned and curled inward, seeking and not finding nutriment, and then light comes. And the decision is made to let go of all things, save the reaching toward that light. There is expansion of self. There is the opening of the heart with these magic words, "I forgive." Each seeker has its own set seasons within, its own time of darkness, and its own time of light. It is well to be most respectful towards and sensitive of these inner movements of the spirit, these trustworthy and helpful times within. As you move through your days and nights, try to remain sensitive to those rhythms, those ripples in the pond of self, those changes of weather. For all seasons, from the coldest to the hottest, from the most contracted to the most expansive, are equally useful. Not equally comfortable, but equally useful. However, as this instrument has said, it is possible to experience a lengthening of that inner season of light. And this instrument, however, did not find a second key to enjoying more and more light. This instrument had noted that the more one gives praise and thanksgiving for the good times, the longer they are likely to stay around. But there is another truth also here. Perhaps we may say, what we have to say another way, and so allow this instrument the luxury of not having to know what the other part was. For the enjoyment of the good times has its basis laid in the enjoyment and positive possession of those times when all is dry and dark and without merit, seemingly. How precious it is when entities can gaze upon their pain and suffering and enter into the darkness without fear, knowing that all is illusion. knowing that both dark and light are useful, knowing that there is no place that the light is not, knowing that there is no light in which there is not the darkness, of some degree of illusion. For we ourselves are illusion. We are developed and articulated, and our experience is vast, for we have been since the beginning, and we shall always be. And yet we are illusion, for all that can be spoken, all that can be self-realized, is by definition illusion, fields of energy that come and go, while the Creator is in the one momentary now, that eternity in actuality is. Yet the journey made each time the Creator flings out its vast and infinite potentiality, those sparks of being that have become each of you, it receives in the end of that journey such a gift of whole and integrated consciousness that to the infinite riches of creation are added infinite richness more. The gift of that journey to the one infinite Creator is a perfect gift. A gift of love. That which has been reflected from love reflects at last to love and becomes one again in that sweetness of unity in which all sense is lost. When that's the end of that section, would you like me to continue?
No, I'm sorry. I was actually talking and I was muted. Terry has been influencing me. I was saying how the energy built. If you notice within the construct of the words, how it started out and how it ended and how it was like a song, a poem that built to this beautiful, refined. Did you notice that, Carla? I'm sure you did.
Well, I feel the energy. Yeah, I did notice
the
building.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have put it that way, but that's beautiful.
How would you put it?
Well, being so close to it, I would have just felt that my heart was uplifted more and more.
Yeah. Okay. So, thank you so much, and I'm looking here. Do you know, we had a, let me see if I can find this. Hang on. Oh, yeah. I had an email from Wilbert, okay? I think I sent that to you, but I don't know if you read it. I had it. I had an amazing experience directly related to viewing Carla on YouTube. Somehow I stumbled on the Home Planet Network interviews. Seeing Carla's physical form for the first time triggered an instant distant recognition. Then I was directed to look at her hands, and this clarified what I needed to know. As I continued looking at the three parts of the interview, I became aware of a subtle rise of frequency in my body, mind, spirit complex. Even after I completed viewing the interviews, the frequency rise continued. Then I experienced a roving, intense pain in my chest and diaphragm area. Inwardly, I became aware that I was not having a heart attack, and I realized that I was not my body. I was able to move myself out of the body, and allowed it to go through whatever was happening. The pains disappeared. I fell asleep. This morning I woke up in perfect health, no pains or discomfort. And as I reflected on what took place, I realized exposure to Carla and the raw material triggered a frequency shift in my being. The frequency shift brought to the surface an undetected energy imbalance in my body, which needed to be addressed. The mind-body-spirit complex balancing mechanisms kicked in and restored balance. To me, the important point of this experience is that by choosing to be exposed to the raw material, I gave permission for the catalytic action inherently embedded in the material
to do its work. Bring to conscious awareness imbalances that need to be addressed. Once these imbalances are known, we can take action that will rectify the imbalance. The implication here is that if we are not exposed to the raw material, we can be carrying around a lot of energetic imbalances, which will negatively impact our health and general well-being. And that's from Wilbert Stevenson in Brooklyn. And, of course, this is something that I've observed many, many times. And some of you who are paying attention to our work know this is true, that when you come into something that's at such a high frequency, that's the Ra work that Carla does, the Kuo work, the Elohim work, it's at a high frequency. It's higher than your normal way of functioning. And although it may feel good the first time, and may feel like, wow, you have aha experiences, for most people, it will surface other stuff. And part of growing is to allow this other stuff to be surfaced and work it through consciously. However, some people do it in their dreams, some people do it by observation, but to go with that process, because otherwise you don't get to the other side of it. And the goal here is to learn how to hold a higher frequency, a higher connection. And part of doing that is roto-rootering, cleaning up those areas inside you where there's distortions, where there's blocks. And the way that works is having them surface and release. Now, Wilbert put that experience very well. And I read it so that you all, will, if you go through that, you can cooperate with the process when it happens. What I want to do now is do our little guided visualization, which many people can feel the energies as they come in. And the material we're working with talks about the law of one. That's the underpinning of the entire work. And the law of one says that we're all the same energy. Everything. The rocks, the mountains, the stars, the suns, the Ra, the Elohim, and you and me, all one energy. But we don't experience that usually. We experience ourselves as being separate and alienated, and we hold it as a mental concept, but not as an experiential concept. So the goal of this visualization is to move into what that experience might feel like. And many of you have it as I go through this. And I don't know exactly why it works. It's some kind of high-level cooperation between your high selves and our high selves and the Elohim's high self, not high self, the higher vibrational intelligences. But it does work. There's a shift. And we tap into that vortex that goes into the higher realms. So let's start out. Put your feet flat on the ground, and we're going to look at the earth, and the earth is part of this oneness. The earth is alive, so they say, and I believe it, and the earth has a consciousness, and the earth pays attention to us, can feel us, and if we start to pay attention, we can feel the earth. We can have a two-way exchange of energy. So let's bring the energy of the earth through the floor. We're not bringing it, but just ask it to come through the floor, through our feet, and see if you can feel a little buzzing in your feet. And you might say, I love you, Earth. And now we're going to bring that energy of the Earth through our legs, through our thighs, through our groin, our solar plexus, our heart, right up to the top of our head. So we can imagine a finger of energy coming through our floor, going through our entire body, and up to the top of our head. And remember, we say it's the Earth, but the Earth is part of us. We're part of the Earth. It's all one. Now, we're going to move through the top of our head and imagine yourself about a foot above your head. Some of you could feel this band of energy around the top of your head. Let's move that energy up to the ceiling. And for a moment, imagine you're like a big fountain, and yet this fountain is coming up through the top of your head. And as it hits the ceiling, it surrounds your entire room, just like a fountain. And you're filling the ceiling with light. You're filling your room with light. Now we're going to collapse the fountain and move through the ceiling and move through the roof and into the space above our house or our apartment. And keep moving. Move higher through the clouds. Move through the veil. Just imagine this. Just follow my words. And imagine that there's this veil of contraction that holds us in. And we just went through it. And we're moving through space. We're moving through the planets. And we come to a spot, a point of convergence, where we touch each other. Our energies combine, blend. Whatever word you want to use. And we are becoming one. And simultaneously, we're still in our bodies, and we're still sovereign, independent beings at the same time. At another dimension, we're touching in and becoming one with each other. And just as we said to the Earth, I love you. Let's say to each other that I love you. It's your presence here that makes this possible. We are doing this as a group. It's a free will exercise in creating a group energy. And of course, we can't see it. We can't see those other dimensions. But many of you can feel these shifts of energy as we do this. When we do this, you notice how it starts to feel peaceful inside you? if you go back and take a quick snapshot of your body, your heart is open, you're expanded. And we have this space of oneness. And we're going to invite those sources that are positive to come into this oneness that we've created, keeping in mind that they are also part of the oneness. We're making a huge hypothesis. We can't see it, so we'll call it a hypothesis that we're creating this huge conglomerate of energy. And we're bridging the higher realms into our consciousness. We'll bring that energy back down, like plugging an extension cord into the oneness energy, and bring it back down through all the realms, all the dimensions, and into the top of our head. And notice how it feels inside you to be connected. Take a deep breath and just go, let it through. We're going to move it from the top of your head down through your body, through your brain, through your nose, through your eyes, through your neck, through your chest, through your heart area. And if you're holding anything in your heart area, like resentment, jealousy, take a look at it now. Surround it with this energy and let it go. Just magically lifts out. People that hurt you, can you forgive them right now? You know, we've spoken many times about graduating from this realm. Your heart has to be open slightly more than half. So right now, let these things go, because anything like that is restricting your heart energy. That's why forgiveness is such an important concept. Not because you're just being good. It's not about being good. Forgiving anyone releases the energy from being carried in your heart, which is compressing your heart energy, which is another thing that will keep you in this realm. So let all those resentments go. And you can do this process by yourself. You can observe yourself during the day. And as you see resentments or jealousies or envy or all those things come up, you can't help them. They come up. It's not your fault. You're not bad if they come up. But learn to surround them in this energy and let them go as they come up. Constantly let it go to free yourself. And we move from the heart to the solar plexus, the seat of power, and understanding that, yes, we're going from power to heart, but we're still having power. Power has this purpose. And if you're going to have an open heart, it's good to have power in your third chakra and wisdom in your higher chakras. And that makes you really effective, because then people can't mess with you. You can hold the heart energy open. You have the wisdom to have the discernment about where to go and how to express it. And we go down to our groin, our genitals, realizing that sexuality is part of your animal body, and everyone has their own challenge of learning how to deal with it. And from spirit's point of view, there's no right or wrong. And the general rule of thumb is don't hurt people. Leave them better than you found them if it's not going to be a lifelong relationship. And then go down your legs and your feet and back into the center of the earth. So some of you can feel your body is now in the center of this huge energy flow. It's going down to the earth and up to the cosmos. And that we have made a connection with each other. And within that connection, we're moving energy through the grids. Because we're all in different locations. And what I want to do is, while we're holding this energy, I want to read some of the things that are on our healing list, okay? For those of you who don't know it, we have a healing list. You can submit, if you want to write this down, in the light. intelligent-infinity.com. And if you want to observe the list and send positive energy to the people that have posted, you can go to healing.intelligent-infinity.com. And it was, those were on the email we sent out today. And we can't always read them all, but we're going to read some of them. Michael in San Diego, personal healing. Mary, personal issues, job, etc. Patricia in Alpine, personal healing. Laura in Tombstone, personal healing. Actually, Michael had sent the light to Susan, Candy, Jenny, Adrian, Jenny, Jeannie B, Chris and Deborah, Christopher, Jack. And Lori wants to send the light to protect our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our country from going broke. To David and her son and others. And Joe in Redondo Beach asks for the light to surround and heal his relationship, flow through his therapy practice, and to provide financial abundance and healing for his clients. And we have here Eric in Thailand, who is dealing with drug addiction. Eric, let's send this light through your body. Fill in those places where you feel empty and desperate. We have Kathy in Santa Fe. She asks for healing. And we have Dial. And we have Robin and George who ask for healing and divine wisdom. And right now, take a moment and If I didn't read your request, or if you have a request, just imagine that at this moment, your request is going to go into this energy we've created, and that you're being heard by the higher forces, by the higher intelligences, which are us, and that you are accessing that part of yourself that can create miracles, co-create miracles. And just put those thoughts in your mind that you would like to see transformations on any level, health, planetary, personal, for your friends. Remember that all these requests are done for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Just take a moment to let it go. Now, they say that when we feel those energies coming in through the top of our head and filling our body, that it is them. That's them. And we're going to hear from them now through Terry. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So what we just did was we called in the light longhand, and now we're going to do it shorthand. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn it over to our sources to bring through a message through Terry. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is March 31st, 2013. And we take a moment at this sacred time of rebirth and the time of Easter, where the changing of the situation in the Christian religion, the changing from the death followed by the rebirth. As Carla has brought in the beautiful speaking of this, we welcome each and every person on the line, and we are delighted that you have come here in the today, in the now, to be and connect with those others on the line and with us in the higher realms. As we look upon Earth, we see a multiplicity of emotions, a multiplicity of intentions and desires. And at the basis of them, even though they may have been reversed in polarity, at the basis is the desire to reach the light and to move through the darkness and to grasp the meaning, the higher meaning, the significance. And we see all different forms of reaching and asking. And the desire for growth from our dark level to our light level. We see the Christian procedures of Easter, and we see the love that a person begins to experience as they think of the connection with their friends, the connection during the Easter egg hunt, the connection in the churches, in listening to the messages, and setting one's sights on a better future, a rebirth, and the hope and the love that is brought forth on Easter. Even in the preparation of going to church, the anticipation, the excitement of the connection, we take a moment and we thank each and every one of you as you are holding a higher vibration of hope and of love, which is much needed by other areas in the planet and other countries. And this hope and this love is there within the individuals that needs to be blossomed, that needs to be nurtured, that needs to be cared for. The individuals can blossom and can begin to find themselves no matter what section of darkness they are moving through in their attempt to find the love, as it is love that ties everything together and makes everything possible. For if one did not have the love, if the plants and the animals did not have the love, this world would not be possible. So when one can bring forth in their own life, in their own way, the love to express it to another, to show to another the caring, the true caring, they make the whole world that much little better. And it all goes together to bring to the world an example of how others can raise their tone and move toward the light. We love each and every one of you, and we thank you for this opportunity for connection. It means more than we can possibly express. Thank you for this sacred moment in time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we are going to move right into a planetary healing and understanding in the Law of One. As we expand, as we're doing on this call, as we expand our oneness to each other, to these positive sources, as we create a group energy, we have the ability to use intention, apply it to that group energy, and have the possibility of transformations. We've seen this happen many, many, many times on these calls. Sometimes big things, sometimes small things, sometimes healings, and oftentimes it just looks like, was that a coincidence? Because they do not want to create a circumstance where we just ask for things and they happen. There has to be a little bit of mystery to it. So allowing for the mystery, and allow for the mystery in your own life, because it doesn't matter why something happens if it happens. But there is definitely a connection between things that happened and things on this call, things that people ask for. And so I do the last part of this call to harness this group energy for planetary healing. And we can see ourselves as that group energy, and surrounding the earth like a blanket of love. We can have the idea, even though we can't see this, we're manipulating energies in other dimensions. Just as when we moved up and we felt the energy in our body, now we're surrounding this energy around the earth. And the earth has all these prickly points on it. It has areas where the energy flows and is received smoothly, and other areas where there are agendas of what we call service to self or negative, and we flow around those. We don't confront them. We don't judge them. We just flow around till we find those smooth areas where the energies are received. And there's millions and millions of light workers, indigo children, crystal children that are reaching upwards, that are looking for this energy. And we're going to put out that it comes to their conscious awareness. Because the more people that tune into this energy, the more our realm expands, the less power the negative has, the less earthquakes there'll be, probably. And we're purveyors of that energy, us and you. You know, in particular, there's been a number of threats from North Korea about nuclear potentials. And we had a rather disturbing conversation about that the other day when I asked them, I remember, I don't know if this is true, but I'll just pass it on. Because to me, the benefit of this kind of conversation is that it creates a certain amount of urgency. urgency in this work, urgency for volunteers, urgency to get it out there, that there's we've got the idea that these sources can do great shifts in reality down here. And at one point, I asked them years ago, I said, well, if they can project a filter into my sister and take her lupus out, could they stop a nuclear weapon from going off? And they said, yes. And then I said, would you stop a nuclear weapon from going off in present time in the United States? And the answer was, it was undetermined. And when I questioned it further, they said that our country has done, and I hope this doesn't offend any of you who are patriotic and think that our country is always right, because I don't believe that. There are many things that our country has done which has accrued karma for the country. For example, going into the Middle East and accusing a country there of having weapons of mass destruction, and then going in and killing hundreds, perhaps tens or hundreds of thousands of civilians, and then putting depleted uranium over Iraq and creating mutations and deaths and the problems that radioactivity can create for people. And those are humans. And we've done this. And if you ever tracked that situation where we bombed, what country was it? Iraq, I think, and talked about weapons of mass destruction. And then later it was revealed there were no weapons of mass destruction, and we made a mistake. There were a huge amount of lives that were lost, and there wasn't even an apology or a trying to make it up. It was like on to the next. Think of how cold that was, and think of how our population did not rise up and say, this is wrong, to go into a country based on a false premise and bomb tens of thousands of people. And I'm not sure you can trust how many people were killed, actually. And then just shrug your shoulders and say, sorry. This is karma that our country is establishing. And that many people in this country, many people are buying into these points of view that anything we do is right and okay. And it's okay to protect us from quote-unquote terrorism and then go and murder civilians in another country. So this has created somewhat of an imbalance where karmically there could be lessons that have to be learned in this country. And I don't like to say that. I don't like to think it. But that was the result of a conversation, and it made sense to me. So at this moment, I want to put our energy into anything that can alleviate and balance this karma, this awareness, compassion in people, compassion for the world and the population of the world under the law of one, not nationalistic interests. I'd like to send the light to the whole situation with Korea, and I would like to request that any nuclear devices be disabled for the high highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. As I understand it, from the higher levels, they're not there to make our lives necessarily easier. They're there to give us the opportunities to grow into God consciousness and co-creation. And I know that many of you on this group are doing that. But we're a very small group. And we have a big country and a big world. And I ask that our work get out there, this kind of work get out there, so it can impact the vibrations of millions of people. Let's move through earthquakes. The Ring of Fire will go from the tip of South America, and we're sending this energy through the earth to the fault lines underground. And we go, the Ring of Fire is the landmass surrounding the Pacific Ocean, and it is the most volatile earthquake zone on our planet. As you've noticed in the last few years, there's been a number of earthquakes there, including Fukushima. So let's see our energy. Let's ask for balance, starting at the tip of South America, going up the western coast of South America, up through Central America, up through Mexico, up through Southern California, San Diego, up through Los Angeles, and all the environs of Los Angeles, which I happen to be in right now. And if you're in Los Angeles, just feel that energy from the earth that we felt earlier coming up from you and send the energy back down into it. In fact, if you're in any of these areas, as I mentioned them, do that. And we go to Malibu, up the coast, Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, another big population center. We send the light to San Francisco through the earth, to all the cities surrounding San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, Concord, Sausalito, etc. And we move up from there to Mill Valley and up the coast of California to Paradise, where Don is and Heise is, up to Oregon, up to through Portland, to Mount Hood, up through Seattle, up through Vancouver, up the western coast of Canada, across Canada, across Alaska, down the eastern coast of Russia, down through China, Hong Kong, Singapore, Philippines. Just picture the map. Picture the map as I say these areas, and just see beams of light coming down into that space. We go down through Indonesia, Australia, and New Zealand, Hawaii, and all the islands in the Pacific. And we can visualize now this whole area with as if it's a huge beam of white light from the center of the universe that we're filtering it through, modifying, reducing, displacing what would be earthquakes, so that they are small and they're away from population areas. And we'll go to the center of the country, There is the New Madrid Fault. We'll do the same thing there. Starts in St. Louis, five states down to the Gulf of Mexico. We just see huge beams of energy coming in that we're pushing into that area. And we go to the Mid-Atlantic Fault. We'll surround the whole planet again and do all faults on the planet, anywhere, any country. And while we're surrounding the planet, let's look at droughts and ask for rain in those areas where there is droughts. Let's ask for the transmutation of chemtrails, GMOs, fluoride in water, all those things that are not good for us, that are being put in our space all the time. Terry pays close attention to the news if she's listening. Maybe she'd like to add something here. Anything you'd like to add, Terry?
I just want to ask that there can be.
You dropped out. We don't hear you. Hello, Terry. All right. We'll come back to her. I don't know what happened. So let's go back to each of us. And in your family, in your community, in your neighborhood, hold this energy. Plant it like an anchor. So that anyone that walks in near you has to feel it. If they want to.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go again.
Yeah, the energy is like twice this morning during the call, the energy has just been so high that my phone disconnects. One of them was when Carla was doing the reading, the energy got higher and higher, and then eventually the phone disconnected, and I missed the ending. And it just disconnected just now. But what I was going to say was that there can be some sense, some sanity come into the world relations, and that. The countries can review their actions and be ethical. I'd just like to put that in the light, and that there can be fairness come into relations. That's what I want to put in the light.
Thank you. Thank you. And it is 11:54, and people have asked me to do a little countdown, and some of you can hang out in this space, and it's okay. You can function while you're here, and others need to get more grounded. So if you need to get more grounded, let's do it now. Getting into the ground. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And we're back in our bodies, but we still have the connection. We're not losing the connection. For those of you that missed it yesterday, we had a great talk with Barry Morrow. Carla was on. Next week, we're doing session 4 of the Ra Law of One Made Simple on Saturday morning. On the Barry Morrow session yesterday, everyone, it was not like an interview. It was partially an interview, but the second part of it was interactive, and it was really, really nice. And it's hard to explain, but I'll put the audio up this week. And you know, it's a very, very small donation, $3.50 to $7. And you know what? When you listen to that, you're helping to anchor the potential that we actually make a movie, because it's bringing the energy into this group consciousness, which actually Barry, I think, was just experiencing yesterday for the first time. Now, interestingly enough, I happened to be in North Hollywood. After that event, I went to a little coffee shop. I ended up sitting next to a guy, talking to him, and he was in the entertainment business, and he had a friend who was Barry Morrow's partner in writing Rain Man, which was, I say, a small world, but I think it's because we did that call. So by listening to that call, you're helping to reiterate the potential of this getting out into the world in a bigger way. So, and if you can't afford it, just send me an email and I'll send it to you. It's only $3. No, the suggested donation is $3.50 to $7. And not much, but I don't like, you know, anyone that can't afford $3.50, send me an email and you got it. All right? Carla, you want to say anything more? Wait a second. Where is Carla? Just a moment. Hang on. Carla, are you there? Hello, Carla. Calling Carla, are you there, Carla? Okay. Well, you know what? On that note, I'm just going to say happy Easter to everybody. Happy Sunday. And we'll see you next time.